Thank you for coming. The first night of really nice enough weather to sit out on our porch or in our backyard. So thank you for coming inside for a little bit. Can you hear me okay? Yeah? Okay. So what we're going to do tonight is experience chant. We're going to start out with some very simple listen and repeat chants. Basically, I'm going to chant the sound and then you're going to repeat it with me. I'm going to chant it by myself, you're going to repeat it with me. We'll probably do each set of sounds a total of three times. Don't worry if you've never chanted before. Just like any other form of meditation or yoga, your main job is to just try the experience, to open your mouth and let whatever sound comes out. The thing that I love, one of the many things that I love about chant is I've always wanted my superpower to be the ability to sing really well. I always thought if I could have one thing that I could do that I'm absolutely incapable of doing, it would be to sing beautifully. And I can't. I don't even sing in the shower, sometimes in the car. But chant is something that's accessible to all of us because we're working with only three notes. And those notes are, when you chant on your own, your choice of what your high, your middle, and your low note is going to be. So even for those of us who are sort of challenged as far as singing, you will find that this is a beautiful way to start to be able to hear and feel your voice. So the layout for tonight is to do a couple short mantras or little pieces of chants. Stop and kind of experience the effect of those. Listen to me talk just a little bit about some of the reasons why you would want to chant, what some of the benefits are, both historically and experientially. And then hopefully, and I'll probably occasionally look up at the clock just to kind of make sure that we're sort of moving along reasonably well, to do a longer chant that asks for health at all different levels of the body. The mind, the voice, and then extends that nourishment both to yourself and to all those around you. And I'm not concerned if we don't go through all of the chant. I would rather have a good experience, start to feel the feeling of chant, start to kind of work with it, than for us to race through. So we'll see once we get started how we progress with that. You'll walk away with at least a couple lines of it under your belt, and it's pretty repetitive. So once you have those couple of lines, you'll be in okay shape. Just come back on Monday. There will also be opportunities for questions, but I'm going to ask that if you can kind of hold those questions until we get to these two or three sort of quiet spaces in between the chanting, so that as much as possible, and I speak from experience on this one, to try to let the analytical mind quiet down and the experiential mind kind of take charge. So question and answer start to kick in our intellect and our analysis. And I am a yoga teacher who thinks the mind is a really important part of your practice. But I'd like to at least start out with us having little oases. Oases? See, they're recording my mispronunciation too. Okay, so what I'd like you to do to begin with is begin as though you are doing a breath or a meditation practice. So you can see me, right? Yeah? So come far enough forward on your chair so that you can place both feet on the ground. You can rest your hands on your thighs, or you can just kind of hold them and interlace the fingers, whatever allows you to feel comfortable. And allow your shoulders just to drop a little bit and the crown of your head to reach up. So what we want as far as physical in chant is very much the same thing we begin to want in breath work or meditation. We want the spine as long as possible extended. We want the feet grounded, and we want to be comfortable. So if you need to deviate from what I've just suggested so that you're comfortable, please do so. So once you've found that position, I'd like you to just close your eyes and bring one hand to the center of your chest and the other hand to the area right below your navel. And we're just going to begin tonight by focusing a little bit more consciously on our breath. If you can close your eyes. So the breath is the core of everything we do. And many of us had to rush here or do all sorts of things before we got here. So just to have a little bit of an opportunity to feel as you inhale how the chest expands slightly. Let there be a tiny pause after your inhale. Exhale comfortably. And again, let there be just a tiny pause, not holding your breath, but feeling that the breath has four parts. The inhale, just a little moment of waiting. Exhale, and little moment of waiting. And we'll just stay here for about 10 breaths. Very good. Just keep your eyes closed for about 3 or 4 more breaths. And just give yourself just a quick scan. Notice how your attention feels tonight, whether it feels easy or more difficult to focus if your mind is wandering a lot. Notice if it feels comfortable or a little challenging to breathe. And if it is challenging, is the inhale easier? Is the exhale easier? We call this swadhyaya, self-reflection. So just beginning by kind of scanning. And then finally, just notice how your body feels, whether the spine feels comfortable, whether there are any aches or pains. Just kind of taking an inventory, and then just take one more breath like this. And then open your eyes, and you can lower your hands down. So two kind of ground rules. One is operate your own vehicle responsibly. So if for any reason what we're doing or not doing is causing your breath to shorten or for you to feel uncomfortable or your back is hurting, whatever it is, please do what you need to do in order to feel comfortable yourself. So one of the ways that my teachers have taught me yoga is that it's really intended to be an individual practice. It was originally practiced, you know, by young boys who went to live with their teacher for years, and the teacher really got to know each student and what each person needed. Now, for many different reasons, we teach yoga quite often in a large group, but I haven't had the chance to get to know you yet, so I don't know if there's somebody in the room who maybe has a little asthma or somebody who heats up really fast. So in order for me to make sure you have a good experience, if you need to change something, if you need to take additional breaths, if you need to get up and move around, I want you to do what you need to do to be comfortable, okay? So second request, if possible, follow the leader. So I'm the leader. Whatever I do is what you're trying to repeat. I tend to chant a little bit low for a woman, which is great because my chant teacher is a guy and his voice is a little high for a man. For me, sometimes my pitch may be a little low. I will try every once in a while to raise it up. Your main job is to listen and then repeat. All right? So we're going to start out just listening and repeating. I'll make the sound, there'll be a teeny pause, then we'll all do it together. I'll repeat, then you'll repeat with me. So in general, we'll do each thing 3 times. Okay? So if it helps you again to concentrate, close your eyes. If you prefer to have them open, that's fine too. So listen and then repeat with me. So together. So, 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 good. So, ma, so, ma. So, ma, so, ma, so, ma, so, ma, so, ma, so, so, ma, so. Very good. So, ma, so, 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 ma, so, ma, so, ma. Very good. So, ma, so, ma, so, so, ma, so. So that one changed a little bit. So listen again. So, ma, so, ma, so. So, ma, so, ma, so. Good, listen. So, ma, so, ma, so, so, ma, so, ma, so. Good, and then just pause. Bring your hands to the center of the chest. Notice how your breath feels. Notice any change or not change in your heart. Notice whether you feel warmer or cooler. Good. Okay. So, the word soma, does anybody know what it means? In Sanskrit, it means the elixir, the nectar of life. It also has to do with sleep. So quite often you'll hear it in chants about sleep. There's a beautiful chant to the moon called Chandra Maskara. And it speaks about somena. It talks about the herbs and the elixir of the herbs helping us to sleep. So, very good. We're going to hand out some handouts, and now I'm going to let your mind see a little bit of what you're doing. So, Kathy, actually, I think we'll be fine if you just want to kind of there. So these are handouts. Is that one or two? These are Xeroxes from, why don't you guys pass that across your row? And then a couple for you guys. I think they should have, do you have enough? No. There's that. There's that. Do we have any extras? Yeah. Mm-hmm. You need me or the handout? I don't know. Am I on The Bachelorette or Dancing with the Stars? I'm not sure. All right. So what you're looking at are four different pages. These are Xeroxes from a really great website. Do you have one? Here, I have more in my file. I've got copies. From a website called Yoga Studies, Dharma downloads resources for a global yoga community. So if you Google search Dharma downloads, that will take you to different sites. You want the Yoga Studies one. The man who has put this together is a student of my teacher's teacher. So my teacher's teacher is TKV Desikachar, who is a great yoga teacher in India. My teacher, Kate, studied with him, and my Chan teacher, Chase, are long-term students of his. Anyway, this is a great resource that has everything from like the Upanishads to sound files of chanting to, it's just a lovely, lovely site. So turn to page 2, if you would. And that is what we were just working on. So we're on the second chant down on the right-hand side of the page. You'll see the word S-O and then M-A-S-O. Okay. On the left-hand side of the page, because I was pointing with my right hand, so that was the right side, the left hand. Okay, so if you look at the first line where you see the phrase so, ma, so, we're going to learn a couple rules of chanting. Vowels. So Sanskrit is amazingly complex, and we could spend like years talking about it, so I'm going to try to kind of keep it really focused. So in the case of Vedic chanting, vowels are either long or short. If they're long, we hold them for about 2 counts. If they're short, we hold them for 1 count. Now, you don't have to remember this past tonight, but just to kind of put it into your brain, O's and E's are always long. So if you look at this first word, S-O, the O is a long vowel. So I know that when I chant that, I'm going to chant so rather than so. But when we get to the second part of the phrase, ma, what do you see above the A? There's 2 things. So which way is the one that you're talking about going? So there's a vertical dash above the A. There's a second sign. There's a horizontal. So that horizontal line above the A indicates that that is a long vowel. So when we get somebody's nodding good, have you had some experience doing this? Oh, you've been to India, though, because you've got the... Yes, like this. No, like that. I love that. You come home and you realize like your neck moves much more easily than you thought it did. So, A with a horizontal above it is going to be a long A. If it was a short A, I would chant that ma. Because it's a long A, I'm going to chant it ma. I'm going to open my mouth larger. I'm going to really let that sound come out. So in the case of this first one that we're working on, we have so, which is long, we have ma, which is long, and then we have another so. Now, the only other thing I want to point out right now is, so we have long and short vowels. That's one side of the coin. We have 3 notes. We have a middle note, so. We have a higher note, ma. And then we'll get to the low one in a moment.
How do you know that's higher, the one?
The vertical line over the A. So the horizontal line says long. The vertical line says high note. Okay? If it doesn't have either a vertical line above or a horizontal line below, and we're going to experience this, so we're not going to just think about it, it's middle. So I kind of think of these as like little hats. That's one of the ways that I tell my students to think about it. Little hats that the notes take on and off, and when it's wearing that horizontal hat, it's long. When it's wearing the vertical hat, it's high. Most of this, again, is only academic. You want to hear. So if it helps you to look at, you can look at the page. And we're going to do those first two lines again, the so, ma, so, and then the so, ma, so, ma, so. We're going to listen and repeat again. So I'll do it, then you'll do it. So, ma, so. So, ma, so. And take your time, and if you need to breathe in between, it's more important that you breathe in between a word, if possible, than you try to push it so that you run out of breath. So we're going to do that line two more times. So, ma, so, together. So, ma, so, once more. So, ma, so, and together. So, ma, so. Good. Second line, we have the same thing, but we're going to repeat it more. So we have our so middle, our ma that's going up, so middle, ma up, so middle. All right? If you need to breathe, breathe in between those sounds. All right? Listen. So, ma, so, ma, so. 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 Listen once more. I'm going to change it a little. So, ma, so, ma. Try that one. So, ma, so, ma. Good. That one's not on the page. So, what was different about that last one? We went lower on that one. So, and using your hands is a really helpful tool. When I'm teaching chant, I often, because we all learn differently as has become so evident. If you're a kinesthetic learner, if it helps you to move your body, this really helps. So let's do this together just to see if that helps you. So we're going to do the second line. I'm not going to change it. So listen. So, ma, so, ma, so, so together. So, ma, so, ma, so. Very good. Now, questions about anything yet? Now we're going to learn some new sounds. So put your pages down for a moment. Listen. Ma boo, ma boo, ma boo, ma boo, ma boo, ma boo. Good, listen again. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Together. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Listen. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Once more. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Very good. All right, look at your sheets. Third line, same mantra we've been working on. So if you look at the third line, that first syllable, ma, what do you see above the A? Gesundheit. Long sound. So again, this A is going to have a long sound. It's not ma, it's ma. Now, the next one has a long over the U, so we know that U is going to also be long. It's not boo, it's boo, longer two counts. But it's got a new sign we haven't seen, which is a horizontal underneath the BH. Does anybody know what that stands for? Low note. Okay, so now we've seen all three diacritical marks. I read someplace when this was invented. 19th century, maybe beginning of the 20th, they started to do diacritical transliteration. The underneath one, so we're looking at the second, the underneath horizontal means a low note. So our three notes are indicated. Our high note is a vertical, as is over the ma on the top line. The middle note doesn't have any indication. The low note will have a horizontal underneath the syllable that goes low. All right? Now, there's one other thing I'm going to talk to you about as far as rules, and then we can put the rules aside, which is great. So this second word, this B-H-U, the B-H is a special sound. So if you've ever heard anyone speak Tamil, which is the language they speak in Tamil Nadu in India, it is beautiful and it's so melodic and it has so many different sort of tones than we do. And part of it is because they use their mouths in a much more active way than we do. So when I say mouth, and this comes, I think, from the Sanskrit, there are five different placements. The tongue can go to the roof of the mouth. It can go behind the upper teeth. It can go against the upper palate. It can just be neutral. So this BH business is called Mahaprana. So Maha means mother or great, and prana means breath or life force. So it's a very special sound that I've only experienced in Sanskrit. The way that it's done is you want to hear both sounds. You want to hear the B, you want to hear the H, but you're going to do a little aspiration by bringing in your abdomen quickly as you make that sound. Have you done this before? Yeah, it's a little tricky when you haven't done it. So I may pop a little bit, both because I'm trying to make it loud enough for you to hear and maybe because of the microphone. It doesn't have to be loud. Nobody should hear it, but you want to hear a little bit more air coming out. So James, should I turn this down or is it okay? It's okay. All right, so listen to me chant that third line. Ma-boo, ma-boo, ma. So this is just kind of like chanting 201. Try it. If you don't get it tonight, don't worry about it. But what it does is it starts to create more engagement of the body. It has great effect for your digestive system. It helps with sinus problems. It helps with your breath. So it does more than just make a sound. So just bring your hands onto your abdomen. And again, sit up nice and tall. Close your eyes. And listen to me, and then we'll do this line three times. Each time I'll chant it, then we'll chant it together. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Together. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Listen. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Ma boo, ma boo, ma. Listen one more time. Ma boo, ma boo, Ma, ma boo, ma boo, ma. Very good. So we're going to go through this whole chant. You can watch the lines if you want, or you can try and listen. For some of us, again, we're visual. This helps. For others of us, we're auditory. I'm going to chant higher and lower. I'm going to chant louder and softer. Your job is to stay with me. So, ma, so, 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 so, ma, so, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, slower, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma, ma, bu, ma. Good. Listen, I'm going to chant a combination. Ma, bu, ma, so, ma, so, ma, bu, ma, so, ma, so. A little slower this time, listen. Ma, bu, ma, so, ma, so, ma, bu, ma, so, ma, so, 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 very quiet, so, ma, so, so, ma, so. Now just close your eyes, sit. Observe the effects of your chant. So when you're ready, please open your eyes. So we did a little check-in at the beginning. We had lots of choices about what we could observe. We observed our breath, our mind. For me, when I say mind today, I mean how focused you are, how much your attention is able to stay with where you're directing your attention. And then we quickly checked in with the body. Any difference now between the beginning of class? And it can be, and let me be very clear, that as a yoga practitioner and a yoga teacher, if you have some sort of amazing out-of-body experience, good for you. But in general, it's usually much more mundane. So when I ask, how do you feel? Are you hungry? Are you overheated? You know, really concrete things. Anybody notice anything?
I feel a
little bit warmer. A little bit warmer? Yeah. Sort of right in this area here.
Yes.
Good.
A little bit.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah.
Calmer.
Interesting. Good. Good. So when you say calmer, where do you feel? Is it possible for you to say where you're feeling it? Mm-hmm. So right here in the center of your chest.
Yeah.
So a very important part in our yoga anatomy, the site of where our heart is in yoga. It's not over here. It's right in here. And chant creates vibrations. I mean, it literally creates vibrations throughout the body, but much of it is right in here. So it's a wonderful tool for shifting how you feel. Because it's right in here that our feelings sit. So why chant? You know, I work at a wonderful yarn store in Downers Grove, and I teach knitting and I teach weaving and crochet. And as I went off tonight, they were like, "Where are you going?" Because usually I have symphony on Thursday nights if I don't work on Thursday nights. And I said, "No, I'm teaching Divine Sound, an introduction to Vedic chant." And my boss was like, "Oh, do you think there'll be one or two people there?" But the reason that I love teaching this is because, for me, it's one of the most direct, efficient, easy to dial up, easy to dial down forms of yoga. So the definition of yoga, according to Patanjali in the Yoga Sutras, is that the practice of yoga is focusing our attention in a specific direction, maintaining that focus over a reasonable amount of time with little distraction. The next sutra, so it doesn't say it's physical movement, it doesn't say it's standing on your head, it doesn't say it's the way you eat, though all these things obviously contribute. It's the process of being like a flashlight in a dark room, aiming at something and keeping that flashlight on whatever it sits on, so that you start to learn both more about the object that the flashlight's illuminating and really more about yourself. So the next sutra says, as a result of this focus, of this maintaining direction, something special starts to happen. And I see some people smiling, but some people like rolling their eyes. So we'll get to that in a moment, because there are many different definitions. As a result, tada drashtuhu svarupe avastanam, the true self begins to emerge. Who we really are, what I describe to my students as, you know, for me, it's sitting at the beach, reading a book, listening to the waves. I can just drive on Lakeshore Drive and see the lake, and I feel like the sense of relaxation. It's water. And that's when I feel I'm most who I am. I'm not meeting others' expectations. I'm not worrying as much. I'm focusing. I'm sitting still. I'm focusing. So that's what chant can provide, is this opportunity to have the mind focus on something, stay with that for a reasonable amount of time, and something starts to happen. I also love it because it's a great way to start to find your own voice, literally and metaphorically. It's wonderful if you are working on communication skills. It's wonderful if you're shy. You're using this and you're starting to feel like you're a little bit more connected to it. I mentioned earlier, it's definitely has digestive and other effects. You can eat more when you chant. You're burning like a surprising amount of calories, and you're toning the center and you're creating vibrations here. So it's really good for somebody like an elderly person or somebody who's a little incapacitated, because they're using their abdomen and they're using their chest and they've got these vibrations. And I love it because it's super efficient, which isn't usually what you would say. But for me, I try to chant every morning. I can get ready for work. I can go up to my bedroom. I can sit in the chair I love. I can chant for 5 or 10 minutes, and it changes the way I feel for the rest of the day. I feel more grounded. I feel more patient. I feel more comfortable having difficult conversations. Now, that's what my chant practice is designed to do. It doesn't mean that that's what it needs to do for everybody. It can do many different things. But I don't have to put out a mat. I don't have to change my clothes. I can do it, and then for at least 5 or 10 minutes, instead of my mind in the morning being all over the place, it focuses, it stays with that focus, and it gives me a chance to sort of connect and kind of ground myself. So that's some of the reasons. There are many more. But I want to stop for a moment, and oh my gosh, it's 7:53. I always think I can pack in more. Let me stop and ask if anybody has questions. Yeah. No. No. Because, yes? I'm sorry, the question was, I forgot, Paula now has to do her going through the audience with her microphone. I forgot she had warned me. Would you drive, okay, so I would not want you to be driving a car while your attention is anyplace else other than the road and the vehicles around you. And chanting is a form of focusing your attention. Yoga says that there's no such thing as multitasking. What there is placing your attention, and then, so my teacher has 3 young boys. It's placing the attention and then moving the attention and placing it. It isn't all these things that she can keep her eye on at one time. So for me, you know, other teachers might say that, you know, it might also interfere with the effect of the chant. So if you're chanting a more religious chant or a more subtle chant, I also think that might be a little bit less appropriate. But the real reason for me is I want you to pay as much attention when you're driving as possible, and I don't want you to have an accident. So you can listen. You know, I have a listen and repeat CD, and I listen to it, but I don't chant along with it. So, and it's not kirtan. Kirtan is a very different thing than Vedic chant is. So kirtan is about community, and it's about just a lot of other things. The kind of chant I'm talking about is like your yoga or your meditative practice. It's great to do in community, but it really should be your focus, whether your focus is the chant itself or the person leading the chant or yourself or whatever that focus is. So, sorry to be a downer. Other questions?
Yes.
Hold on one moment. Let's let Paula get to you. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, all right. Thank you. Does every sound have a meaning?
Every sound has a meaning, and it is said of Sanskrit, and I believe this from my experience, that you do not even need to understand the meaning of the word to get the effect. So some of these simpler words I can tell you off the top of my head. So I think I mentioned soma is the elixir of life. Ma bu has different translations, but the one that I prefer is, may I know the infinite. So, yeah.
But when you're doing it, you're understanding the meaning?
Not usually. Traditionally, you were taught the chants or taught the sutras. You would learn to chant them all, and only when you had mastered the chant would your teacher then possibly teach you the meaning. So I've done it the very traditional way, which And I will tell you a quick story about the experience of a chant. So several years ago, I was in San Francisco, and I was starting a therapeutic yoga training. And Mr. Desikachar and his son, Kostub, began each session by chanting. So I'm sitting in this building, not at Fisherman's Wharf. It's by where Green's restaurant is, if you know where that is. And it's cold, and we're in this room, and they started chanting, and I started to just have tears coming down my face. Now, I'm a pretty taciturn person, so I cry at movies, but not often at things like this. I just had tears. I had no idea what the chant meant, and I found out later that it's a very beautiful chant called the Shraddha Suktam that's about faith and hope. And it basically says many different things, but it says the more faith you have, the more faith you will have. And faith is something that I'm really interested in. What is this thing? How do I feel it? What does it look like? It's something I've been thinking about for a long time. And so to hear them chant this really moved me. And when I started learning it, the line that I gravitated the most to was, the more faith you have, the more faith you have. So it's an experiential thing. And I think I always, as a teacher, will let my students know a little bit about what it is, because I think as Westerners, it helps, because a little bit of this is unfamiliar. But I think it's best to not know and to learn it first. That chant, so he was asking, what is the name of that chant? It's called the Shraddha, Shraddha. I can show you in my book afterwards. Suktam, Suktam. So it's a Vedic chant for Shraddha. Any other questions? Okay. So it's 2 to 8. Can we go for maybe 5 more minutes? Is that all right? Okay. So what I'd like you to look at next is, I think it's on page 4 of your handouts. And it says the word Ayur, A-Y-U-R, mantra at the top. Okay, everybody have that? So this is a chant for health at many different levels. The word Ayur means life, so it's a chant about life. And this word dehi, which you're going to see in every line, means nourishment. So this again is from Dharma Downloads, and there is a translation. Okay? So we're on the Ayur mantra. There's another one in there. So what I'd like you to do is, again, listen and repeat after me, and we'll try to do the first 2 or 3 lines, and then I'll explain them. So listen. Om Ayur. Just do that part. Om Ayur. 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 Listen. Dehi. Dehi. So this is one of those mahapranas, like our b sound. This is a d sound. Dehi. Dehi. Good. Listen to the whole thing. We're going to skip the om for now. Ayur dehi. Ayur dehi. Good. Listen once more. Ayur dehi. Ayur dehi. Okay, listen. Pranan. Pranan. So that M at the end of the first word is going to turn into an N sound, as in no, because of the D that follows it. Pran, om, pranan, pranan, dehi, dehi, pranan, dehi, pranan, dehi. Good. So we go, low, middle, high, middle. Pranandehi. Pranandehi. Good. Let's do the first. Listen to the first two lines. Ayurdehi. Ayurdehi. Pranandehi. Pranandehi. Apanan. Apanan. So low, low, middle. Apanan. Apanan. Dehi. Dehi. I'll try to raise that up. Om. Apanandehi. Apanandehi. Good. I'm going to chant the first three lines, and then we're going to chant the first three lines together. That first A in Ayur is long, if you can't see. Ayurdehi. Ayurdehi. Pranandehi. Pranandehi. Apanandehi. Apanandehi. Good. So put the page down for a while and just do one more little experiment. Place your hands here on your belly, both hands. Close your eyes. Apanandehi. 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 Now just pause. Don't chant. Notice your breath. Notice any vibrations. And get to listen to the pretty chimes. Good. So, the first three lines say, may my life be nourished, dehi. And then the next couple are about the vayus, the winds that move through the body. It only names three of the five. So, prana vayu is the upward moving energy. Apana vayu is the downward moving energy. The upward moving energy has to do with voice and breath. The downward energy has to do with elimination. Vyana dehi, which is in the next one, is that which moves all throughout the body. So you can think of it as the blood or the circulatory system, but it's the way the prana, the life force, travels. So we're just about out of time for chanting. It's amazing how quickly it goes. So I'm going to stop there with having you chant, and I want you to close your eyes and just have just one more minute of being quiet. And I'm just going to, after about 30 seconds, chant two traditional chants always done at the conclusion of Vedic chanting. Yadakshara pada brashtam matra hinantu yad bhavet tat sarvanksham yatan deva narayana namostute Shrimate Narayanaya namo namaha. Kayena vacha manasendriyairva buddhyatmana va prakrite svabhavat karomi yat yat sakalam parasmai narayanayeti samarpayami sarvam Shri Krishna Arpanamastu. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for your chanting and using your beautiful